Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special word of welcome to our visitors. We're happy that you're here. We hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. There was a flight attendant who was a bit intimidated because right in the front seat of first class, there was an incredible personality. It was Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali was on this flight. And of course, all the instructions had been said over the loudspeaker. Put on your seatbelt, you know, put your seat back straight, do all of that. But Mr. Ali did none of it. So the flight attendant began to worry. Again, the captain had said, "We're taking off. Please get ready, get all your passengers ready." And Mr. Ali did none of it. So eventually, the flight attendant built up enough courage to go up to him and say, "Mr. Ali, please, you must put on your seatbelt. We're about to take off." And Muhammad Ali turned to the flight attendant and said, "Does Superman need a seatbelt to fly?" The flight attendant was almost shaking. He says, "No, Mr. Ali, but I gotta tell you something. Superman doesn't even need an airplane to fly." If you think about it, in today's gospel, we find the contrast, the clashing, the coming together of false pride and true humility. Let's look at false pride. False pride is when we don't look at ourselves in the mirror well enough. And I'm not talking about the physical mirror, because we know what happens that first look in the morning when you look in there and you haven't done anything to this, you go, "Wah!" You almost scare yourself, right? The gentlemen shave, you know, we kind of clean ourselves up a bit and do our hair. But the ladies, you know, you go through your whole transformation, right? With all the makeup and all the things. That first look is an honest look because we see what's there. The person with false pride can never see the picture correctly. Because if you think about it, this gentleman was telling God how wonderful and free of defects he was, how everything was right with him. Oh, he said all his prayers. He was much better than that other guy, the tax collector. He gave a tenth of his income. He had everything figured out. If you think about it, it almost makes very little sense for him to have been at the temple praying. Because basically he had put himself at a par with God. You know? He was perfect. That's false pride. False pride is when we can't see the real picture. The fact that we're limited, the fact that we need God, and the fact that, hey, there's always something that needs improvement, isn't there? True humility, on the other hand, is when we approach God and we look at the spiritual mirror, almost like an x-ray of our souls. We look on the inside and we realize that we are sinners, that we need God's mercy and that we need God's grace. There's something about that second position, the tax collector who went to pray. There's something about that that requires deep reflection. And I believe that Jesus said this story so that you and I would deeply reflect on what it means to stand before God. We hear jokes and stories about standing before God. They're usually stories of, oh, someone got to heaven to the pearly gates and blah, 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 blah. No, I'm talking about standing before God in prayer each day. And do you know something? I was doing some research on this. Newsweek in 1992, they did a study. And they said 78%, listen to me carefully, 78% of Americans pray every week. 52% of Americans pray every day. What they discovered was that even 20% of the people who call themselves atheists pray every once in a while. Why do I say this to you? Because we all stand before God in prayer. We all do what that humble man did to try to connect with the Lord, don't we? And when we go and pray, or when we stand and pray, or kneel and pray, or sit and pray, we are talking to the Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one that knows us better than we know ourselves, the origin of our being. So how can we not approach God with true humility if He knows all the truth about us? He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. See, this second man acknowledged his sinfulness. And the gospel says he was standing far off, which means he probably did not feel worthy to be kind of closer in that temple area, you know? The Pharisee was there front and center. He felt that that was the place he deserved to be at because he gave his tithe and he did everything according to the law. Now you got to understand something. Jesus was not coming up with this story out of a vacuum. Listen to me carefully. Jesus was telling the story of his own people. He was telling the story of his own people. He knew what they were like. He wasn't just condemning the Pharisees because of this one Pharisee that did that. He was trying to explain to the Jews of his time, to his own people, hey, guess what? You think you got this whole God thing figured out, but there's a lot more to it than you think. You got to give your heart to God. You got to give your heart to God, and you got to come before God with true humility. False pride will not get you there. Only true humility will get you there. So we must approach God. We must come before God with true humility. Because God will only act when we empty ourselves of our egos, when we empty ourselves of our prejudices, when we empty ourselves of all of those negative attitudes that are not of God, and we fill ourselves with God's Holy Spirit, and we allow God to then work in us. True humility is what we're called to. I was hearing this story. I love to hear NPR because I love their interviews. And one of the things on NPR just a few days ago was an interview with an incredible talented dancer. You may know his name, Garth Fagan. Garth Fagan is a Jamaican choreographer and dancer. When Garth announced to his family that he was not going to follow the family tradition of becoming a doctor, they were not happy, especially his daddy. His daddy was not happy. He said, you're going to do what? You're going to go dance? Well, Garth became a dancer anyway in order to fulfill his parents' wishes and the desires of his family. He went and got a psychology degree. He even got a master's degree, but didn't quite get to the doctorate. His dad was not thrilled with that. He went on to dance, became an incredible, incredible dancer. He not only became an incredible dancer, he became choreographer of things like The Lion King, for example. And as I was listening to this incredible interview, I was fascinated to hear that he had been to Africa 7 times. And while he was in Africa, his big thing was to be in contact with the animals, to see how the giraffes moved, to see how the lions moved and the tigers and all these animals, right? And he kind of got the moves down pat, and then he turned those moves into dance moves for people, for human beings. And this choreographer is just an incredible talent. As he was being interviewed, the interviewer asked him, well, what happened with your dad? You know, you didn't become a doctor. How did he react when you became this famous choreographer? He said, well, you won't believe it. One day my daddy calls me because he had read an article about me in the paper. And he says, son, I want you to bring all your buddies, all your friends to Jamaica. It's on me. And he gave me his American Express card number. And he flew them all home. He couldn't believe it. The interviewer said, well, what did he say when he saw the bill? Well, he just said, you know, it was a big bill, but he was so proud of his son that he had accomplished so much, even though he did not follow the chosen path. You know, his father passed away, and shortly after his death, Garth starts getting phone calls from different universities. Because of his great accomplishments, he got 6 honorary doctorates. 6 honorary doctorates from different universities, Juilliard here and there, and a bunch of universities gave him doctorates. He had, if my daddy could see me now, he wanted his son to be a doctor, and it turns out his son is doctor, 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 doctor. You know, when Jesus says in today's gospel, the humble will be exalted. The humble will be exalted. That is true. You know, here was this man who tried to please his family for so many years, but he followed his heart. And he was humble enough to see that the hand of God was at work. And he was able to see how God rewarded him anyway. And in our own lives, we've got to learn that. Because sometimes our pride makes us do things and go places just to be well with everyone. You know, that's pride. It's false pride. The real thing you have to accomplish in this life, the real, real thing, the one thing you have to do, is follow the will of God. What is God asking of you? And to be at peace with that. What is God asking of you? Are you fulfilling what God is asking you to fulfill? Forget about what everybody else thinks. Forget about what people will say. Are you following God's path for you? Are you coming to God with true humility? You know, when God sees us looking down at us, he doesn't see whether you're up here or down here, whether you've accomplished this much, or you're making this much or that much, whether you're the CEO or the maintenance person. When God sees us, he sees us all as his beloved children. And only a person with true humility can understand that God will always raise you up, that God will always lift you up. And God knows how we approach him speaks volumes about what we think of ourselves and what we think about God. Sometimes we allow pride to get in the way because we're not seeing ourselves right. We've got to realize, you know, what needs changing in my life? There's things that need changing. Maybe your spouse tells you, hey, you know what? You know, maybe your children tell you. Maybe your boss at work tells you, you know what you should do? And sometimes we're so focused on our own vision that we don't see that God is speaking to us through a lot of people around us. God is speaking to us. That God speaks to us through real life events and through people, through the situations of our life. When we're truly humble, we're able to say, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe I need to change. False pride won't get us there. Only true humility will. And we must approach God with that sense of true humility each and every day of our lives. We must be able to stand before God, like the tax collector did, and recognize, Lord, one of the most ancient prayers in Christianity, it's called the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That is the truest statement that we can say. And I'm going to tell you a secret. One of the greatest gifts of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century to Christianity was the gift to know that God's grace cannot be earned. That God's grace is freely given. That God gives us grace. That God shed his blood on the cross for our salvation, that we're saved by the blood of Christ and the blood of the cross, not by the things we do, not by the things we do or the things we say. We are saved by the blood of Christ on the cross, and his grace is freely given. That is a very important theological reflection for us to make each day. Because we do not earn God's grace. God's grace is freely given. The gentleman that went over there, all he really did, that tax collector in the temple, all he really did was to count on God's grace. He did not bring a list of accomplishments. Look at all I've done. Look how wonderful it is. And by the way, true humility is not about beating your breast all the time either. It's not about looking at yourself in a bad light. That's not true humility. We've kind of developed that in Christianity and maybe others in other faith traditions. From what I hear from my Jewish brothers and sisters, they do that pretty good. You know, they do that pretty well too. And I'm sure other traditions do that too. But this whole thing of this guilt and beating, that's not true humility. True humility is to know that we are so little and that God is so great. But we approach God from that position of ours. We approach God with faith because we know that by God's grace, God will lift us up. By the power of God's grace, God will save us. See? So today, the Lord Jesus is challenging us. And he's asking us, what's your attitude? Are you in the camp of the false pride? Now in this political season, we hear debates, we hear commercials, we hear this, we hear that. And you hear so much false pride, don't you? It's hard to pick up on the true humility, isn't it? As followers of the Lord, we must be truly humble. And we must approach the throne of God with that attitude. The attitude of faith, the attitude which says, I'm a sinner, and I need you, God. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.